Good morning. It's good to connect with you today as we take a moment at the start of our week to be grounded in the word and the hope that God has for us. Today is a day where we are starting a new series, starting a new sermon series, taking a look at our lives and our faith when things don't go as planned. When I think about the circumstances that we find ourselves in, not just in moment, but in other moments in our lives, we often find ourselves trying to make the best of the situation. It makes me think of the phrase, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. But before we go into that, I invite us to take a moment to listen to the writings of Paul from the book of Romans in chapter 5, and then also have a reading from the book of James in the first chapter. So I invite you to hear these words, starting with verse 1 of chapter 5 of Romans, going through verse 5, and then I'll introduce the James reading when I get to it. So hear these words from the Apostle Paul. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And then from the book of James, in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I think about those circumstances in which we are making the best of them, I think about lemonade. Now, when I'm going through a rough time, you may not think about lemonade exactly, but it's that common phrase of when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Now, in some ways, that phrase, it may seem almost kind of trite at this point. Especially we've gone through the pandemic, especially when we face other trials and difficulties in life. Phrases like that can lack meaning. They can lack substance. They almost seem like we're putting off the circumstance that we're in. That somehow if we dig deep into ourselves, we'll find a solution to whatever we are in. But if you think about that phrase a little more, and think about those components that make lemonade. It's actually kind of amazing this drink actually works. I don't know about you, but I am not one who just eats lemons. They're too sour for me. They've got too much that sourness, that acid to them. It kind of drives me nutty when I try to eat a lemon, and I've not done it very many times in my life. And maybe you know somebody who does like to eat lemons. They probably have a disposition to liking really sour food. That's not me. But when you take those sour lemons, the fruit that looks amazing, but when you bite into it or you get too much of it, it's just too much. But when you add that fruit with water, and then you add that with a little sugar, that sourness is reduced, and you find the flavor is quite pleasant. And especially in the summer season where it's warm, it's hot, you go outside of, you know, in the afternoon and you're sweating buckets, the idea of refreshing lemonade is appealing. It's something that I can get behind, something I can appreciate in a hot summer day. But through those adding of ingredients and through the making of that beverage, taking something that is incredibly sour and making it something pleasant and maybe even slightly enjoyable. This does happen in our lives. We have sour situations, we have sour moments, moments that we do not care for on their own, moments we do not plan, moments we don't want to experience. But yet, we go through them, and they become a part of our experience and become a part of our story. Now, in the book of Romans, Paul is writing to the church in Rome. And if you think about the time that Paul would be writing Romans, it was not an easy time really for anybody to live, unless you were at the very top of Roman society. You had a lot of land wealth, you had maybe a large household with a lot of servants. Life was hard in the Roman Empire. Life was difficult. And if you're a citizen, it was a little easier, but if you were not a citizen, life was not great at all. And then you have this church in Rome that Paul is writing to. Rome being the heart of the empire, writing this letter to the church to give some encouragement to them, some guidance to them, as Paul did to many of the churches that he wrote to. If you think about the life of somebody who would be a part of the church in Rome in that first century AD. Most likely they were not of the high classes of society. Most likely they were part of a class, a lower class. They did not have property. They would not have had wealth. They would not have had anything that would have made their life easier in the material sense. And then Paul arrives with audacity, talking about suffering, about trying to, you know, persevere, to experience and to grow and experience that hope that's found in Christ. Now, if you're thinking about a person in that early Roman church who would experience suffering, you know, might be one bad harvest away from starving to death, the idea of perseverance producing hope through Jesus Christ may seem preposterous to you. And it may seem preposterous to us. And James has a very similar theme about enduring trials, about going through them. And James even encourages that joy to be found in those trials. But if you think about talking about trials and challenges and suffering with any kind of redeemable quality, it seems a bit morbid. It seems a bit strange. However, there's a reason Paul is writing this, because it was seen in his time and would have been a common knowledge or a common experience with the average, you know, person in the Roman Empire that if you were experiencing suffering, if you were experiencing hardship, it was because the gods were displeased with you. Your status, your value was seen as less than because you were suffering. And anybody who would have suffered would be have seen as, you know, less than. They would have been seen as, you know, maybe unclean, or perhaps they would have committed some horrendous act, or they had, you know, not given an offering in the right way in the temple to the right God, and they would have experienced suffering. And that pain of life was seen as you did not have any favor whatsoever. Your value was nothing. Your value would have been seen as just, you know, garbage because you were suffering. But Paul turns this notion of suffering because of Christ. He turns that notion of suffering, of hardship, of difficulty around. And that is why it's so odd when you really think about these words from the perspective of the average person in the Roman Empire or in the church in Rome. The idea that suffering could push us closer to God was novel. And if we really dig deep into our own experience, dig deep into our own lives, we might be able to identify more with that concept of suffering being bad, something that could separate us from God, instead of seeing it as a moment where God comes to us and is with us. Reason I say that is, you think about our lives, especially, you know, in you know, North America, where, you know, we're, in comparison to the rest of the world, we live pretty good on average. You know, we've got quite a bit of our needs are able to be met, or we can find assistance. Not to negate times when we are struggling with poverty, or we haven't, you know, cured these, but speaking, you know, on our society as a whole, our compared to, say, a country that's really stricken with a high level of extreme poverty, we actually do pretty good. But if you think about any of the things that we might buy for ourselves or services we might get, a lot of times it's geared towards easing our hardship or easing our difficulty in life. I mean, there are services that we pay for to make our lives simpler. Think about if you go fly in the airport, there is the pre-check you can pay for so you can skip the whole line, you know, going to an airplane, not having to go through security. Or if you think about the services that you subscribe to, like Spotify, so you don't have to get a whole lot of different CDs or albums or downloads to have the music that you want. They make it convenient and easy for you to find your music, to find your pleasure easily. And if you think about all the algorithms that also exist and all the programs that we use, like Facebook and YouTube and Netflix, how they make suggestions for you so you don't have to go and find the things that you need. Or if you think about the other ways in which we try to make our lives more comfortable, things that we might value, like a super comfortable chair, or we might try to find a way to get some extra help to take care of things. Those are all ways in which we try to ease some of our difficulty in life, to make things easier. And in some ways, we have not shaken off the notion that if we are struggling, if we're in hardship, or even suffering, we've not totally shaken that idea that somehow we are not worthy. And it's easy to think that when we are struggling, especially in that moment of hardship or difficulty, of thinking back on ourselves that somehow, somewhere, to someone perhaps, we did something wrong. That there is something flawed in us that brings about that suffering or that pain. And this is where the life of Christ really speaks to us. This is where the hope of Christ comes in and reminds us that we are not unworthy, that we are not broken beyond repair, that we do not have any value. But rather, it's a moment where Christ says, "You are valued, that you have worth." This is what I believe Paul is getting after, and the writer of James as well. That in those moments when it feels like we don't have any worth or value, or we have brought this upon ourselves, it's recognizing the reality of life. Suffering, hardship, pain, it's a part of life. It's a part of our experience. And the people in the time of Paul and the time of Christ would have understood that. And we too know this. We know those moments when we have struggled, when we, it seems like every day is a battle one after another. But Christ speaks to us and points us in a direction and reminds us that we have worth. If you think about Christ, how he, you know, came to his end of his life even, was a great amount of suffering on the cross, a great amount of pain in that last week when he was on earth with his disciples. And as he went through that Holy Week filled with heartache and brokenness, Christ certainly understands what it means to suffer and struggle. And I believe because of that experience that Christ had, Christ has great compassion and love for us when we struggle as well. And even when Christ suffered horribly on the cross and he died, but yet Christ was resurrected. Christ shows us that death and brokenness, suffering and pain do not have the final say in our life. They do not define us. Our struggles, our hardship, our challenges, those things do not define us. It is the hope and the life that we have and find and experience in Christ. That is what defines us. The challenges of our present situation is nothing compared to that life and that hope that we find in Christ. It does not compare to the everlasting life that we have in Christ. And I believe that hope that Paul spoke about, is what carries us forward. That new life, that new beginning, that fresh start in Christ, that is what carries us forward. Yes, when we have struggled, we have suffered, those moments are real. They impact us. They are a part of our experience. But it's not the sum total of our worth. It is the hope and life that we find and live out in Christ. So brothers and sisters, when you find yourself struggling, and when I think about where we are right now in this pandemic response, the moment that we find ourselves in as we're going forward as a community, I believe we will need to lean into that hope in Christ all the more. Because we have things to work through. You know, we have a lot of hardship and struggles in our community. A lot of lives have been upended, you know, by the virus. You know, folks who have lost their lives. We have people who have lost their jobs. You know, a lot of hardship. A lot of suffering out there. And I believe as a people of faith, we can be a witness to the hope that is in Christ. Our world desperately needs to hear the hope and the love and our witness to this hope and the life that is found in Christ. So brothers and sisters, even though we know hardship, we know suffering, we know struggle, we know as a people of faith that doesn't define us. So let us proclaim that hope. Let us proclaim the joy that is found in Christ so others may know that and they can live into it. And so we all work together to bring about the kingdom of God. And all will know the everlasting life and hope found in Christ, now and for all of our days. Amen.